Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to take dense research, boil it down, and give you that shortcut to, well, really knowing your stuff.
That's the goal.
Today we're digging into something pretty fundamental, a clay. Specifically, Tlalpujahua clay from Michoacán, Mexico.
A traditional material, yeah.
And the science of what happens when you bake it. Really bake it, extreme heat.
Exactly. The focus here is on a scientific study looking at how this, you know, potentially sustainable material changes under high temperatures.
Our mission really is to unpack how that heating changes its core engineering properties. We're talking hardness, yes, but crucially how it holds up under stress over time, its fatigue resistance.
Right. And this study went beyond just like simple strength tests. They wanted to predict its lifetime, especially under cyclical loads. So they took this clay, made little bricks, and split them into three groups. B1, cooked at 500 degrees C, B2 at 750, and B3 way up at 1,000 degrees C.
Okay.
Then they hit them with two key tests. Vibrous hardness, that's for micro hardness, how it resists indentation, and then ultrasonic fatigue testing.
Ultrasonic fatigue? Sounds intense.
Oh, it is. It's a super accelerated way to see how long the material lasts under vibration. Thousands of cycles per second. Gives you insight into long-term endurance.
Got it. So it's kind of a material science detective story. We're following these three clay groups, B1, B2, B3, heated differently to find that sweet spot, the best balance of strength and endurance.
Precisely. Where does it get strong but not perhaps too brittle?
Okay, let's start at the beginning. The prep work. They took the clay powder, mix it with water, shape these little bricks. You mentioned the size.
Yeah, small ones, about 15 by 10 by 115 millimeters, then into the furnace for 5 hours at those Targo temperatures, 500, 750, all 1,000 Celsius.
So first big question, did the heat just immediately make them shrink and get denser, like you'd kind of expect?
Well, not exactly in a straight line. This is our first interesting twist. It's about porosity and density.
Okay.
So sample B1, the 500-degree one, it had an effective porosity of about 32.4%. That's the starting point.
Right. And usually more heat means particles fuse together, porosity drops, density goes up, sintering,
yep.
Right.
That's a general idea, but B2, the middle one at 750 degrees, its porosity actually went up slightly to 32.9%.
Up. That seems counterintuitive. Why would it get more porous at a higher temperature?
Yeah, it's a bit strange at first glance. But it links back to the chemistry happening in that specific temperature range, roughly 500 to 700 degrees C. It's called the dihydroxylation phase.
Dihydroxylation?
Like, think of the clay minerals, like elite in this case. They have water molecules, hydroxyl groups, kind of chemically bound in their structure.
Right, structural water.
Exactly. And in this temperature range, that water gets violently kicked out as steam. Plus, any leftover carbon stuff burns off.
So it's losing mass, and the steam escaping kind of pucks it up a bit, or creates little voids.
So with tiny weaknesses, yeah. Micro cracks, even.
Yeah.
It happens before the main sintering process really gets going at higher temperatures. So it gets a little bit cracklier internally first.
That's fascinating. So the path to strength isn't always smooth. It can get temporarily weaker, or at least more porous, on the way.
In a sense, yes. But then when you jump to B3 at 1,000 degrees C, then you see the expected consolidation.
Okay, so B3 follows the rule.
Big time. At 1,000 degrees, shrinkage and chemical changes really take over. Porosity drops dramatically down to 24.7%. It becomes much, much denser.
And they noted you could actually see the difference, right? The broken surfaces got smoother as the temperature went up.
Yeah, smoother surfaces for B2 and especially B3. That's the sintering effect, the particles fusing more completely. And the colors changed too.
Right, the colors were like flags for chemical change.
Definitely. B1 was medium brown, B2 went darker brown, but B3 became this light brown with orange hints. That signals major shifts in the actual crystal structure at 1,000 degrees.
Okay, so physical changes, porosity shifts, visual cues. Now let's get to the mechanical stuff. Hardness. The Vickers test. How much stronger did this clay get with heat?
This is where the numbers get pretty dramatic.
I bet.
So B1, the 500 degree sample, was the baseline. 79.1 Vickers hardness, which is about 775 megapascals MPa.
775 MPa. For context, what's like regular concrete?
Oh, much lower. Mm-hmm. Maybe 20 to 50 MPa for typical concrete. So even B1 is quite hard.
Okay, and B2 at 750 degrees.
Big jump. It went up to 274.1 HV. That's nearly 2,700 MPa.
Wow. Okay, so almost four times harder than B1 already. What about B3, the 1,000 degree sample?
This is the showstopper. B3 clocked in at 1057.8 HV. That translates to over 10,370 MPeg.
10,000, that's huge! A more than tenfold increase from B1. That's moving into serious engineering ceramic territory, isn't it?
Absolutely. Extremely stiff material at that point.
So what's driving that incredible jump, especially since B2 didn't get much denser than B1? It can't just be porosity reduction for B3, right?
No, density is only part of the story for B3. The main reason is a fundamental chemical transformation. The X-ray analysis they did showed it clearly.
What changed?
At 1,000 degrees, a relatively soft clay mineral called elite basically disappears. It transforms into a different mineral.
Spinel. And that's much harder.
Exceptionally hard. Literature values put spinel hardness way up there, potentially close to 8,000 MPa on its own. So when that forms throughout the clay matrix, the whole thing becomes incredibly rigid.
So you're swapping out a weaker component for a super strong one?
Pretty much. And for B2, the intermediate one, the analysis showed that even at 750 degrees, you start seeing more quartz, which is harder than elite, and less of that fragile elite before the spinel shows up.
Ah, okay. So B2 gets harder because the mineral mix improves, but B3 gets really hard because it forms this new super hard mineral.
You got it. That's the key difference.
And the computer models backed this up, the simulations.
They did. They ran finite element analysis, looking at something called von Mises stress, basically predicting how the material deforms under load. And B3 showed by far the least deformation. It could handle the most stress before yielding. So if all you care about is static strength, like how much weight it can hold without crushing, B3 is the clear winner.
Okay. Highest static strength for B3. But that's not the whole story, is it? Now we get to the fatigue test, the ultrasonic one.
Right, the crucial test for endurance. How does it handle repeated stress, like vibrations? They used a 20 kilohertz load that's 20,000 cycles per second, just hammering away until the sample broke.
And based on the hardness, you'd expect B3 to last the longest, right? It's over 10,000 MPa hard.
That would be the logical prediction. Harder should mean tougher, should mean longer life under fatigue. But this is where the results get fascinatingly contradictory.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Well, B1, the softest one at 500 degrees, performed as you'd expect. Lowest hardness, lowest fatigue life. It failed after about 810,000 cycles.
Okay, makes sense. What about B2?
Get this. B2, the 750-degree sample, the one with only moderate hardness, around 2,700 MPi, it showed the highest fatigue life. By a lot.
Higher than B1, obviously, but higher than B3.
Way higher than B3. B2 lasted over 5 million cycles. 5,056,500 cycles, to be exact.
5 million. Okay, so what about B3, the super hard one?
And here's the paradox. B3, the static strength champion. It broke much earlier than B2. It only lasted about 2.6 million cycles.
Wait, so B2 lasted almost twice as long as B3, even though B3 is like four times harder?
Exactly. The material that's vastly harder under a single push actually fails much sooner under rapid repeated stress.
Wow. Okay, that completely flips the script. So what's going on? Why is the hardest material more fragile under vibration? Extreme hardness seems to come with a hidden weakness.
That's the critical insight from this study. And the answer, again, lies in that chemical transformation at 1,000 degrees, the elite turning into spinel.
The very thing that made it so hard.
The very same thing. While the X-ray data confirmed B2 hit a sweet spot, good hardness, good microstructure, resisting crack starting B3 paid a price for its transformation.
How so?
Think about that elite changing into spinel. It's not just a simple swap. The spinel crystal structure is different, denser. When it forms within the existing clay matrix, it creates internal stresses. It doesn't quite fit perfectly.
Like forcing a different shape into a fixed space? Sort of. And that process, according to the researchers and existing literature, is known to generate tiny, inherent microcracks throughout the B3 material.
Ah, so the process of making it super hard actually introduces flaws at the micro level.
Precisely. These microcracks might not be big enough to significantly affect a single slow push test, like the Vickers hardness test. But under high-frequency vibration...
they become stress concentration points, yes. Places for failure to start.
Exactly. The vibration energy focuses right on those tiny existing cracks, and they grow very quickly, leading to rapid fatigue failure. B3 is incredibly strong statically, but it's brittle dynamically.
That distinction is huge for any practical application. Static strength versus dynamic toughness. You gained stiffness, but you lost resilience.
That's the core takeaway. Heating definitely improves strength, but push it too high, to 1,000 degrees in this case, and those mineral changes make it brittle.
So if we sum this up for someone thinking about using this clay, the implication for you, if you're looking at sustainable building materials, is really important. B3 looks amazing on a simple strength test. You just need it to, say, hold up a static load. It's great.
But
But if that component is going to experience vibration, maybe from machinery, traffic, even just thermal cycling, that induced brittleness is a major problem. It could fail unexpectedly. B2, the 750-degree sample, is actually the better choice for endurance.
Let's just recap those numbers side by side. The trade-off is so clear there.
Okay. B1, 500 degrees, low everything. 775 MPI hardness, about 810,000 cycles fatigue life.
Right, the baseline.
P2, 750 degrees, the endurance champ. Good hardness, 2678 MPI, but an amazing 5 million cycle fatigue life. That's the optimal balance here.
The sweet spot.
And B3, 1,000 degrees, yeah. Super hard statically, 10,370 MPI. But the brittleness cuts its fatigue life down to 2.6 million cycles, less than half of B2's life.
It's such a clear illustration of that paradox. Getting maximum hardness through that high-temperature mineral change introduces flaws that kill its performance under vibration.
It really does. And that points directly to what needs to be studied next.
What's missing?
Well, the study strongly suggests that just knowing hardness and this specific type of fatigue isn't enough to fully qualify these materials for real-world use, especially B3.
Because we know it fails from being brittle.
Exactly. So you need tests that specifically measure brittleness, or rather, the resistance to crack growth. How much energy does it take to actually break it once a crack starts?
Like measuring its shatter resistance.
That's a good way to put it.
Hmm.
The technical terms are fracture toughness and also flexural strength, how it bends before breaking. These tests would directly quantify how those microcracks affect the overall structural integrity.
So only then could an engineer confidently decide if B3's high static strength is usable or if its brittleness makes it too risky compared to B2.
Precisely. You need the full picture.
So think about that next time you see a ceramic tile or brick. Just because it feels hard doesn't mean it's truly tough enough for the job, especially if it's going to see some vibration.
It's always that balance in material science, isn't it? Chasing one property, like hardness, can sometimes negatively impact another, like toughness or fatigue life. Especially with complex natural materials like clay.
A fantastic deep dive into the hidden complexities of heating clay. Hopefully you feel well informed about this trade-off between strength and endurance.
The devil's always in the microstructural details.
That's it for this deep dive. Until next time.
Stay curious.